Deborah Stone is the co-founder of MyAgingParent.com, which is a site which helps people look after their elderly relatives. Morning to you, Deborah.
Morning, hi.
How do you go about choosing the right care home then?
Well, on My Aging Parent, we've got a number of articles about sort of advising people as what the best things to do. And we think there are sort of seven key tests of a good care home when you're looking. First of all, you need to visit at awkward times of day. Don't visit necessarily when the care home asks you to come. Visit at meal times and see how they're managing. Visit first thing in the morning and see how they're looking after their residents and getting them up. So that's very important. Don't just sort of go when the care home says, oh, come at a quiet time, because actually you won't see how the home's operating on that basis. And then when you do go, it's really important to try and gauge whether the home is being run for the benefit of the staff or the residents, because sometimes there's an attitude there which is, you know, actually, we can't be bothered, it's too much trouble, we're running this for us ourselves. Or alternatively, where they do seem to be genuinely caring and looking after their, you know, their residents in the right way. And I think you can pick that up if you ask the right questions and talk to some of the residents and so on. And just, you know, are they smiling at you when you walk through the door? Are they kind? Or do they just all seem fed up and running around as if, you know, they've got too much to do and they haven't got time to stop? Things like that.
And the more you pay, is the care going to be better necessarily?
I don't think you can say that. I think that's a generalisation. I think it's more about the people that are working there, the cleanliness of the home, and how they are with the residents. I mean, it's like when you send children to a nursery or you have someone in hospital. It's all about the person that's caring for them and looking after them. And we wouldn't accept bad standards in any of those situations, and we shouldn't be accepting them in care homes.
Yeah, did you see Panorama last night?
I did. It was shocking, awful.
But there's nothing... I mean, you could argue that there was nothing new, really, in that programme. It's just that nothing has changed since the last time.
No, I think that's right. And I think, you know, the problem is in all care situations of whatever age someone's being cared for, but particularly for the elderly, you can't guarantee that the person looking after them is going to do it in the way that you would want them to. You can only hope that. And I think in the majority of cases that they probably are doing a great job, but there are always bad apples. And it's just awful when somebody's a victim of that.
OK, stay on the line, Deborah, if you can, because I want to bring I just want to bring in Steve Palmer from the Social Care Institute for Excellence. Morning to you, Steve.
Morning, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm very well, and quite a few of our care homes then are falling short of excellence, aren't they?
Well, it certainly, I would mirror what my friend, is it Deborah from the My Aging Parent, was saying there, and the Care Quality Commission. It was a very difficult day yesterday to say, oh, well, it happens in some places, but in mostly it doesn't. It's a difficult thing to say on a day after Panorama's been aired in the news clips yesterday and with the show actually last night. But I think your colleague who rang me yesterday was interested in getting us on to talk about what happens if you're trying to find good care for your relative who may be older, but they may have a disability, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so how would you go about selecting the right place for that person?
Well, it's funny, just with a sort of personal story, my uncle has dementia, and my mother looks after him, and so does his daughters, and they're at the stage now when it's, what will we do? Well, he's not quite ready for residential care, for a care home, but they are certainly planning for that eventuality. He has carers come in, and also once a week somebody comes in and takes him out for a little sort of trip around the lake. That's really important, that sort of thing. That's looked forward to when he turns up. So it isn't necessarily the case that somebody has to go immediately into a care home, but it's important to plan for it. We have a website called Find Me Good Care, and on there is quite a lot of advice about what to do if you are suddenly in that situation. People might have seen the Panorama programme or suddenly be in a situation where they need to find care for a relative and feel completely confused by a system which isn't at first obvious about how to negotiate.
But you shouldn't worry about spending a lot of time shopping around and visiting as many homes as you can.
Sorry, you shouldn't, or you should?
No, you should. Well, I mean, you should. You shouldn't worry about it. You should spend a lot of time just going around as many places as you can.
Yes, I mean, Deborah really was saying a lot of things I was going to say about research before you go, visiting, turn up at meal times. What's the food like? other activities there. Will your loved one have access to a GP of their choice? Are the staff showing dignity to the people who are living in the care home, that sort of thing? But I'd go one stage further, perhaps, and talk about how there should be a dialogue about what we call safeguarding. So one of the issues that came out in Panorama was about safeguarding adults who might be at risk, who might be vulnerable. And on our website, we had an example of a care home in Leeds. And every time they were, say, one of the residents had a bruise on their arm, the procedures came into place so that the staff brought it up as an issue. Rather than saying, oh, let's not talk about that, it became an issue. The relatives were informed. And importantly, crucially, they were reassured that something was being done. And so the chances of bad safeguarding events happening can be significantly reduced if you have the right procedures and protocols in place.
And how are the staff selected typically to work in a care home? What sort of qualifications might they have?
There are a number of qualifications, and we could go into the details about that. What's important is once they are there, that there's decent supervision, that there is training. And one of the things you could do if you were visiting a care home to decide whether that's the place, the right place and appropriate place for your relative, is to ask about what sort of training there is. You know, so important that you hear that sort of thing from the care home manager when you visit. So, as I say, ongoing supervision. On the film that we had on our website about the safeguarding and the open dialogue, in supervision, staff members were bringing up safeguarding concerns. So being proactive is very important.
And something that we saw once again on the programme last night through secret filming, and I put this to you as well, Deborah, is you know, one patient asking to go to the loo more than 300 times. 300 times before anybody responded. How can that happen?
Well, I don't know how that can happen. I mean, it's just somebody's fundamental dignity taken away from them. I mean, just because they can't get to the toilet themselves and they're left there to soil themselves, it's just horrific. And there should be no reason why that should happen. And again, I think it comes right back to going back to the care home and when you're choosing it. And as you were saying, you must take as much time as you possibly can. And my colleague was just saying, you really need to take the time ahead of time. So plan with your parent. We talk a lot on My Ageing Parents about the need to plan ahead, way before sometimes your parent might need a care home, but so that you understand what they want. Because also your parent will have their own views on the type of place they want to go and what they're looking for, what type of person they are. Are they very private? Do they like to socialise? How will the home keep them happy like that? Because it's about that too. But the fundamental issues of taking someone to the toilet, of cleaning them, helping them to dress, I mean, it's critical. My own father was had dementia for years, but he spent the last 6 weeks of his life in a home because he was so ill. And I went in one day, and he was all tangled up and uncomfortable, and sheets all over the place. And even that upset me, and that wasn't anything like we saw on Panorama. But because he was such a dignified man, and he was always smart, and he would have been mortified if he'd seen himself in that state. So it should never happen, but unfortunately, it still does.
Steve, I was going to ask Steve whether there are plenty of places in care homes, or could it be that if places are in short supply, you end up putting your relative into a place you're not happy with?
Yes, I mean, that really, countrywide, I'm not sure about that at all, because there isn't up-to-date current research on that. It's really interesting what Deborah was saying just now. My grandmother had dementia and died at home in 1991, and she just lay on the floor, and nobody knew what it was at the time. So in a way, we've come on quite a lot, but obviously there's still an awful lot of work to do. It reminds us also that it's important to think about safeguarding adults away from care homes as well, in the community. One of the things we have on our website recently is about safeguarding in the housing sector. So housing officers and even perhaps, you know, contractors like plumbers can pick up where there's concern, and they can then do something about safeguarding issues that are in the community. So yes, it's in care homes, but it's important that people are on top of the whole safeguarding adults agenda right across all the sort of public services.
And finally, if there is something wrong, we've been hearing about the difficulty of speaking out. Even the staff dare not speak out in many cases. But if, for example, your relative is not happy about something, they may not want you as their relative to complain because they have to live there, don't they?
They do, but I think it's really important that you talk to them and complain if you can. And we've got, some very good tips on Managing Parents about how to complain about care and how to do it nicely. You don't have to storm in there and scream and shout, but I think it's very important that you make yourself understood as soon as those problems become raise their heads in any way, even if your parents saying to you, oh, you know, I was a little bit worried about this, but don't say anything. I think it's important. And if you're in a care home where they have a problem with you complaining, you have a problem with that care home, because it should be completely open. The best care homes should have committees where both patients and relatives can sit on the committees as well and talk about how they want to make that care home better and talk about complaints. And if you complain and they have an issue, I think then you have to really think about whether that care home is doing the right thing by your parents.
Okay, Deborah, thank you. Deborah Stone from myagingparent.com.